It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
Good Saturday. We are right tipping up against the 4th of July. Barbecue season is in full swing, and you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. We're smoking up the backyards all over mid-Michigan. Battle Creek, Kalamazoo, Flint to Traverse City, Whitehall, you name it, we're out there smoking up the backyards. Thanks for tuning in. We got a action-packed show, a lot of great information, a lot of great recipes going on today. I'm Jop, he's Bob. What's cooking, Bob?
Hey, I'm just hanging my meat on the air today. It is the Grilling Guys, and we are in your backyard. We're in your grill every Saturday, and we are going to have some fun this morning. We got Bob Dubisky, the meat man, the meat specialist, the guy who's got his tongs into everybody's grill. What's up, Bobby?
How you doing, Bob? Thanks for having me this morning.
That's great. What's cooking today, Jop?
Well, you know, we've got Hudsonville Winery coming in. It's always a great day with the Grilling Guys when we've got a winery coming in and bringing some of their wares to us. And I think I saw like a team from the winery coming in, and they've actually got a brewery going. We're going to talk a little bit about their Pike 51 Brewery and what's going on there. Gadgets, it's gadget time. We're going to talk a little bit of grill safety as well. You know, it's the 4th of July weekend, we're calling it, because the 4th is coming up on Wednesday. So we want to hit our safety rules again, because this is a time when a lot of people maybe don't barbecue all the time. This is the time when they do barbecue, so we want to bring that up to make sure that none of you are having accidents out there that ruin an otherwise great time. But let's talk a little bit with Bob right now. Bob, you're a career meat man, and you've been on all sides of that business, and we love having you on the show because you're always got some great advice, and we're going to do a little replay of a conversation we had the last time you were here. It was about, maybe 3-4 months ago. So if you heard this before, bear with us, but we think it's great information. And that is a conversation about the grades of meat that are in the butcher shop or in the store when you walk in, and what is it that I'm looking at, and why does it make a difference? And those grades are prime, choice, and select. So break that down for me, if you would, please.
All right, Jop. As you mentioned, there's three grades: prime, choice, and select. And the prime, only 2% of the cattle in the country grade out to be prime. And it grades out to be prime because it's going to have the most marbling, it's going to be the juiciest and the most tender meat you're ever going to want to eat. So that product, because there's only 2%, there's limited production, so the pricing is going to be a little bit higher than your choice and select. The next level would be choice, and that is an excellent eating grade as well. If you get the top-of-the-line choice product that's going to be finely marbled, you're going to have a great eating experience. When you get down to the select, you won't have as much marbling, so it tends to be not quite as juicy, maybe a little bit tougher, but if you prepare it properly, you can still have a great eating experience even with select at a value price.
So 2% is prime. What percent is choice and select?
There's probably about 70% choice, and then 35-40%, you know, roughly.
He's a meat man. He's not a math man.
Yeah. I'm a little over there, Bob, but
somewhere in there. So a bulk of it. Yeah, the way to go, Jop. That's a zinger right off the bat.
You know, I could walk out of here, you guys. It's really early.
The problem is the doors are locked. It's a secure tower, so we've got you.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
So when is that selection made?
It's at the slaughterhouse. When the product comes in and it's slaughtered and it's on the line, broken down into sides of beef, that's when the inspector goes through and makes that determination on how it's going to grade out.
And is it a government guy that makes that call, or is there an association person, or is it just the owner of
the
operation?
It's a government guy. It is a government employee.
So it's a guy in a black suit and sunglasses.
They're pretty tough, Bob.
Yeah.
Pretty tough.
Yeah, I know one of them.
So my question is that what makes one prime versus select versus choice? It's the feeding of the animal. And again, we're talking beef here, right? This is a beef grading system that we're at.
But isn't it also genetics?
Genetics will allow cattle, certain genetics will marble easier. You know, they might not need as much grain, but to your point, Jop, it is the grain. The amount of grain that the cattle is fed is going to determine how much marbling, how much fat it's going to have on it. So the more grain, the fatter it's going to be and the higher it's going to grade out.
Versus grass and alfalfa.
Versus grass fed, you're going to probably end up with select product.
And then the alfalfa is better for maybe milk production?
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting. Couldn't you come up with a better term than slaughterhouse? I mean,
well,
come on.
You know, we're grilling
political
guys,
correct
but
days here.
It's okay. they don't make tofu there. But
coming from the tofu guy, that's good. Right.
Exactly.
That's real good.
But so when I walk into the store, are these clearly labeled, these grades of meat? You know, I think that they are, but is it a requirement, or do they just do that for convenience for the shopper?
There is a requirement that it does have to be labeled. So most major retailers are going to have it labeled. It'll say Choice, Select, or Prime. So it will be labeled on the label or on a tag. If you're looking at a full-service counter, it should be labeled on that tag.
That's part of the problem for the consumer is all three of those sound great.
They do. And,
That's Select.
Select. A lot of consumers think that Select is better than Choice.
Right.
In the meat industry is trying to educate the customers and teach them more about the grading system and which one, you know, is graded better and which one's not. So
if I get one of these Select grade cuts, I think our recommendation there is it's not going to be as marbled, so maybe we want to marinate that. And you want to tenderize it a little bit with some sort of a liquid or a rub marinade that's going to penetrate the meat, maybe even a jacquard.
Hammer.
Right, yep, on some cuts.
Sledgehammer, too.
It's not that bad, Bob.
That's a way to make a Select piece a little more tender when it hits the table.
Absolutely, that's a great way to put it.
Right, yep. And you also don't want to overcook that, because as you overcook it, it tends to tighten up and it becomes even more tough than it would be if it were served rare, medium rare, or maybe just a medium is all. I wouldn't go much farther than that with those. Now, that's a personal preference thing. If you like your meat overdone, then I can't help you.
So right. Roasts are graded on the same?
The whole cattle is graded the same way.
Because see now, on the roast, I would take it to the other extreme and say I'd cook it even longer because
slower,
it's going to be
slow cook it, mm-hmm. You know, not quite as high of a temperature, and cook it longer so that it'll have an opportunity to become more tender.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network, and we are in studio today with Bob Dubisky, who's a friend of the show and just a wealth of knowledge on meat. And you brought us a little gift. I love it when people come in and bring food. You know, we've got some Pike 51 sitting in the green room out there right now, and that's equally as tantalizing. But you brought in a cool product here that I'm thinking of ways to grill, and it's called Old Neighborhood. This is a new product on the market. What is this?
It's a brand-new product, Bob, and it's shaved beef steak. And it comes in a one-pound retail package. Now, you can get your shaved beef steak at a restaurant if you order a steak hoagie, but now you're going to be able to pick that up at a supermarket. It's big on the East Coast right now, and we're getting it into the Midwest.
So last night, Jop was at my house. My daughter's in town. We had a little pool party, and I had my Cajun grill back by the pool, and I put a wok in it to saute vegetables and get that smoke off the charcoal and the smoke I was putting on some brats. So you could throw this on the grill in a wok like that and stir it up real quick with a little charcoal, get some of that char flavor on it.
That's correct, Bob. It's quick and easy. 10 minutes, you've got that stir fry or steak hoagie, steak and eggs, whatever you're looking for.
Wonderful.
It sounds tasty, Bob. That's a great product. We'll look forward to giving that a try this afternoon. Coming up next, we've got our friends from the Hudsonville Winery and the Pike 51 Brewery. These are people that are producing some great product. Stick with us. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.